This is a story of King Priyavrata. He was he ended up being a very self-realized first-class devotee of the Lord. But somehow he was in family life, which is kind of the difficult to become self-realized in family life. So Priksha was a little confused and doubtful. How is it possible? But then he explained, he said, how is it possible? He was so fixed in devotional life, then he gave up that life and became a householder. How is it possible? Then he says, well, Shukadeva Goswami answered, he said, although a person may be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he may sometimes be influenced by two kinds of obstacles. Hare Krishna. Those obstacles are Vaishnavaparad. So that becomes, he's going along nicely and all of a sudden he spins out or bloops or even gets involved temporarily with Maya movies and breaking all the principles and seemingly forgetting everything about Guru and Krishna and Bhakti and all of that. And this is the reaction of offending Vaishnavas. Very dangerous. So one cause of the of a good devotee having facing obstacles or impediments and even having, appearing to fall or have difficulty on the path of devotion is Vaishnavaparad, which is so much repeatedly cautioned and warned about by Srila Veda Vyas Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now the second cause of impediments or obstacles for a very good devotee is the desire of the Lord. The desire of the Lord or the Lord's devotee to impede one's spiritual progress or devotional service, as the example of the four Kumaras cursing Jai and Vijay. So it appeared to be the desire of the devotees. Four Kumaras are also, they became devotees of Lord Vishnu, also Vishnu Bhaktas. But they appeared to speak in such a way to curse them, so that was a little bit, appeared to be a little difficulty for three births for Jai and Vijay, because they had to descend to the material world and Satya, Treta and Dwapara Yuga, and become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and Kumbha and Karna and Ravana, I suppose. And then in Dwapara Yuga they became, I don't know, Kamsa and Dantavakra, I forget who they, and became Dwapara Yuga. But this is all the Lord's Leela, actually. Lord Narayan wanted to fight, and he can only fight with his devotees. So he actually arranged, he inspired the devotees to put an impediment. He inspired the devotee four Kumaras to put an impediment in the other devotees' lives, Jai and Vijay. Although they have no karma, and they were not Vaishnavaparadis. They didn't make any aparad to the devotee Kumaras, the four Kumaras. But it was a combination of the will of the Lord who wanted to fight with them and the will of the devotees. Radhe, Radhe! And the will of the devotees who were only acting under the will of the Lord. So Narada Muni, he guided Priyavrata. He performed great tapasya and he attained tremendous transcendental knowledge. While he was busy doing tapasya, his younger brother Uttanapad, and of course Uttanapad is the father of Dhruva. You maybe remember Dhruva Maharaj and King Uttanapad, who had too many wives, what they were described, Suniti and Suruchi. And he had sons by either one of them, by both of them. And Dhruva tried to climb on Uttanapad's lap one time. I believe it was Suruchi was there, and she didn't have some very good taste. Tsurushi means good taste. But she had good taste for her husband and her own son, but not too much for Suniti's son. So she said, "What is this? You don't belong here." Chucked him off. He got a little unhappy and angry, and he went to find God. Everyone knows that story in the fourth canto. So Uttanapada's younger brother Priyabrata, and he was ruling the earth under the direction of his father, Swayambhuva Manu. So Dhruva Maharaj comes from a pretty illustrious family. His father, his grandfather is Swayambhuva Manu, one of the Manus. He's one of the great Mahajans. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma. And like this. So there's 12 great Mahajans. So his great-grandfather is one of the great spiritual leaders and progenitors of the material world. So up to the time of the Prajetas, all the kings had been descendants of Uttanapada. But after the Prajetas went off for self-realization, Swayambhuva Manu went to Gandhamadana Mountain and asked his oldest son to come back and rule the world. And that oldest son was Priyavrata. Manu came and tried to convince Priyavrata that this was his duty to rule the kingdom. But he was involved with a spiritual life. He didn't like so much going back to college, going back to taking a job again, becoming the emperor. That was the last thing on his mind. Can you imagine the thinking process? This is Satyuga, that someone approaches you and says, "Listen, I want you to be the emperor of the world." He said, "No, I'd rather meditate on God. I'd rather do Vishnu Upasanam, sit in a lonely place in the Himalayas, wearing nothing and eating nothing and breathing nothing, and have no followers and no friends and no admirers and no acquirements and no puja, no pratishtha, no position, no designation, just simply devotion, nirmal prem." But then his father said, "Listen, someone's got to rule this place and I'm not into it." But he knew that he couldn't reject the idea, is the order of his father, who's also representing God on one level. So then he asked his father, he said, "Listen, I'm afraid, I don't know, do you think it's possible for me to rule, be the emperor and not give up my Krishna consciousness? Because I have so much responsibility and, you know, an internship, and I have to go to hospital day and night. And is it possible to, you know, do your internship and still be Krishna conscious? This is my question." So then Lord Brahma saw how that Priyabrata politely refused to accept the emperorship. He decided to step into the program. So then he arrived there, and he knew that only if he ordered Priyabrata, that it's called one-upmanship. His father didn't obey him, but Lord Brahma happens to be the grandfather. The father of Swayambhuva Manu is none other than Brahma. So the father couldn't get the son to surrender. He said, "Dad, I'm not into it. I'm going back to ISKCON. I'm going to do my bhakti and forget about your emperorship. You can let the world go to hell. I don't care. I want to go to Radhakund and do my bhajan." But then Brahma knew, okay, he's not listening to my son, Swayambhuva Manu, but if I go there, and if I order my grandson, then definitely he'll surrender. Because I'm like, Pitama. All the demigods headed by Lord Shiva and the personified Vedas and Rishis, they came to worship Brahma. When the grandsire appeared, that grandsire Brahma appeared like the full moon surrounded by so many shining stars in the form of sages. Narada Muni was also there on the scene. He saw the swan carrier, so he knew his father was there, because if you see the man's car, then you know he's inside the restaurant. "Hey, look, that's so-and-so's car. Oh, he must be in this house with this work engagement. So everybody stood up and offered respects to Big Daddy. Brahma is like the Big Daddy, no? The Grand Sire, Pitamaha, Manu, Priyabrata, everybody worshipped him because he's number one. There's Vishnu, he's Swayam Prakad, he just appeared, he's Atmabhu, he has no mother. His mother and father are Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He's the source of it all. Everybody praised him, he was very compassionate, he smiled. So he came there with the purpose and intention of convincing Priyavrata to accept household life and rule the world. The Bhagavatam is the Sarupa of Krishna. So we see some message in the Bhagavatam, stories or teachings that apply directly to us. They do. Because the Bhagavatam lives, breathes, hears, feels, sees, touches. Because the Bhagavatam is Krishna. Does Krishna see and feel and remember? And does Krishna know the past and present and future of everyone? Yes, certainly he does. That's why he's God. So Krishna is God, and Krishna is the Bhagavatam, so therefore the Bhagavatam is God. Srimad Bhagavatam can also see and feel and touch. And the Bhagavatam can also see the future and the present and the past. Anyone who sees through Shastra Chakshush, anyone who sees reality or sees themselves through the mirror of the Bhagavatam, as you glance in the mirror and see the pimples on your cheeks, right? Yes. Similarly, you can glance in the mirror of the Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Darpan. Srimad Bhagavatam Darpan, you can glance in the mirror of the Darpan of the Bhagavatam and see your very life right before your eyes. Here it is, my life reflected in the teachings of Shukadeva and Goswami Pad and Maharaj Parikshit. So Brahma, Big Daddy's been called in to bring in the sledgehammer program, seal the deal. Lord Brahma knew that even though his son would become emperor, he wouldn't give up his Mangalartik at the temple. He would still carry out his devotional service. Sometimes, as it's well known in social intercourse, there's some joking between the grandfather and the grandson. In this case, Priyavrata was determined to remain absorbed in meditation, whereas his grandfather was determined that he would become the emperor. So one person was determined that he should follow his course of action, and the other person was determined that he has to do spiritual activities at all costs. Brahma said, "Listen, don't be envious of Krishna, who is beyond our power of imagination. Even Shiva, Narada, and me, Brahma, we carry out his orders. No one can avoid the order of God. No matter how austere he is, how many mystic powers he has, or how much, even if he comes in third in his batch, or how much physical prowess or intelligence, not by any means can one avoid the order of God. My dear boy, don't think I have come here as your enemy. As one of the great authorities, I always act under the direction of God. We are all bound by Vedic injunctions, just as bulls are forced to move when the driver pulls the ropes that are connected to their nose. Ultimately, we're all being controlled by God. Therefore, we should voluntarily accept his direction. Just as a blind man is happy to be led around by a trustworthy person who has eyes. A liberated soul does not resent having to accept the results of his past karma, because he knows that the material body is acting under the influence of the modes of material nature, whereas he is transcendental. My dear Princess, if one is not self-controlled, he must always fear material bondage. Even if he goes to the forest because he's living with his six co-wives, the five senses and the mind, no one is living alone. You go to the deep, dark jungle, and you're living with six people. Your mind, he's wild. And then your eyes and your tongue, and your tongue is going crazy. Ice cream, mangoes. What is this? Wild fruits and berries, roots and leaves. Tongue is craving sweets and ghee and salty. Salt. There's no salt in the jungle. Where people live without salt. On the other hand, even household life cannot harm a self-satisfied person who has conquered his senses. Indeed, one who is situated in household life and conquers his mind and senses is like a king in his fortress who defeats his powerful enemies. After having controlled his lust by training in the Grihastha Ashram, one can move freely anywhere without danger. Therefore, fix your mind firmly on the lotus feet of Bhagavan and accept whatever material enjoyment he has ordained for you. Priyabrata, he offered obeisances to Lord Brahma and accepted his order with great respect. At this time, Narada, although he was trying to make Priyabrata his spiritual disciple and he was training him as a brahmacharya, he was not upset because, after all, his father's wish, Bhagavan's wish also. Brahma is the father of Narada. Now, of course, becoming the emperor and getting married, his brahmacharya brata will be broken. Okay. Neither Narada nor Priyabrata, they did not look at with feelings of resentment upon Brahma, because they knew and they were trained how to respect a superior person. While they were both frustrated, because he was his student, he was training in brahmacharya to be dedicated to God. But now he's going, leaving the ashram and going to become temporarily a Vishayi. So he was resenting that fact, but he tolerated, both of them did. Swayambhuva Manu worshipped, he was grateful that his son had accepted his order. Brahma went back to Satyaloka. Everything was wonderful. And with the permission of Narada, Swayambhuva Manu gave his son the responsibility for maintaining and protecting the earth. And thus, Swayambhuva became free from material life and retired to the forest. So Manu got out and tied up his son. Take over the family business, my boy. I'm hopping and skipping into the forest. Bye. Have a good time. Priyabrata married Barishmati, the daughter of Prajapati Vishwakarma, and got 10 sons and 1 daughter. And his sons, he trained them from the beginning of their lives to be paramahamsas. And thus they never married. In other words, if you have misery, although unfortunately the modern ethic is everyone's suffering, they want everyone else to suffer. I'm miserable in married life, and you should also be miserable like me and get married. So people are envious of one another. Some parents are extremely envious of their children, extremely, and the so-called plea of love is just a covered form of intense envy. Mother's envious of the beauty of her daughter, father's envious of the power and strength and handsomeness of his son, envious of their attainments, so much envy, cloaked in the thin veneer of I love you so dearly. As soon as you express your independent will, or your independent desire, then they cut your throat. Your beloved mother and father will cut your throats. You're not doing what I say? You're not doing what I want? Then take this. Ah! Yes, I'm your slave. I'm your clone. I'm your robot. I must act, think, feel, speak, move only according to your will. This is Indian children. Absolute enslavement. Totalitarian submission to dictator-like parents. It's pretty unfortunate. If someone's lucky, it's when they after they die in India, they'll be born in the West. Because people in India suffer so much, their parents are saying, God, I hope I never get parents like this again. They die like that, so then they come back in America, so they'll never get parents like that again. So, he was ruling the earth for so many years, quite a long time. I don't know. It's supposed to be Satyuga. People lived to be 100,000 years. But it says he's ruling the earth for 1 billion, 100 million years. So That's a long time. I don't know how he got such a long life, but he did. And he was getting a lot of energy from his wife's services to do his job. He was a really great devotee, but he appeared to be like an ordinary man attached to his wife. So he didn't like the way the sun was moving and making daylight and part of the universe and night. So he chased after the sun god in his chariot. He said, listen, you know, you have to, somehow or other he was driving behind the sun god, and the rims of the wheels of his chariot created something which later became seven oceans, dividing Bhumandal into seven islands, seven continents. Then he gave everything to his son, and he thought, he was thinking how I became so entangled after having surrendered to such a great guru as Narada. Then he became firmly situated in Krishna consciousness. He was reflecting over his previous entanglement and waste of a billion years and married life, being the emperor. He said, oh, what a condemned man I am. I become like, because of this life of sense gratification, I'm finished, I've had enough. I'm not staying home any longer, just like dancing around like a monkey and controlled by my wife. So somehow, Maharaj Priyavrata came to his senses by the mercy of God, gave all his kingdom to his sons, and he went back to perform austerities and attain Krishna consciousness as he formerly did. So this is Canto 4 and the story of King Priyavrata, that he was doing really well as a brahmachari. He spun out for a while as a grihastha. Unfortunately, he was a good brahmachari and a good grihastha, never forgot God. I continued serving him and eventually got some intelligence and recollection and was able to pull out and get back in the fire, as they say. King Priyavrata ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.